The personal stories expressed in this series reflect the true experiences and opinions of the guests and may not represent the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles has said,
"There is hope for the addicted, and this hope comes through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ and by humbling oneself before God, pleading to be freed of the bondage of addiction and offering our whole soul to Him in fervent prayer. Priesthood leaders can help as those who have addiction seek counsel from them. Where necessary, they can refer them to qualified licensed counselors and LDS family services. The addiction recovery program adapted from the original 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous is readily available through LDS Family Services."
In this series, you will hear actual meetings discussing each of the gospel principles of addiction recovery and healing. Addiction recovery meetings have strict guidelines of confidentiality and anonymity. These podcasts may seem contradictory to such standards. All the participants in these meetings are active participants in the addiction recovery program and have willingly volunteered to participate. Their experiences are genuine and not fabricated. These recordings were created with the express purpose of providing a way for individuals who are isolated from recovery groups to participate, as well as provide an example to church leaders and members of a typical meeting. In this portion of the addiction recovery meeting, you will listen to one member share his or her own personal experience with Step 6 of the addiction recovery program.
Elder Ennis, we're going to, as usual, give you the last word.
Thank you, Robert. Hi, I'm Elder Ennis.
Hi, Elder Ennis.
And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here with you tonight. You know, step six for me, I still struggle with step six. It's a hard one just because of the core beliefs that for so many years I've believed in, the incorrect traditions of myself, the incorrect definitions that I define myself with, my self-worth, my self-value for so many years. I program myself to believe a certain way. At this particular point, once we are at the threshold of step six, you know, we've gone through, and step one, we admitted to ourselves. Step two, we came to believe that it was only the power of God that could restore us. You know, step three, we decided to turn our will over to God. Step four, we made our list of everything, and in step five, we confessed our sins. I think the first five steps, once we've accomplished them, we've arrived at the point where Elder Maxwell said, as we place our will or our agency on the altar of God, it's really only the true thing that we truly, or the thing that we truly possess that we can place upon God's altar is our agency, our will. I think once we've arrived at step six, we have truly done that. And now it's time for us to continue to exercise that wonderful gift of humility and sit back. And it's time for us to, you know, stick ourselves in our back pocket or hang ourselves up on the wall, whatever metaphor you want to use. And it's time for us to sit back and watch God do His work. Up to this point in our lives, we didn't do so well. We didn't do that hot. Now it's time for us to step back and humbly move ourselves out of His way, give Him the floor, and allow Him to work the work that He can work in each one of our lives. And I think ultimately therein lies a true change of heart, being able to sit back and being able to look at your life through heaven's eyes and be able to watch God perform His transforming abilities and change a soul into what He know it can become, and be able to humble ourselves and sit back and accept the reality that we do have value, that we do have divine potential, and that we have a loving Father in heaven who sent his perfect Son to be able to bring salvation. And we need to step back and we need to behold and prepare ourselves to behold the salvation of God. I always like to turn to the scriptures. This is a process. Just like this program is a program of action, this is a principle of action. And it's a principle of action even on God's part, where he's going to reach into your life, reach into our lives, and do what he can do to secure the moorings and change our direction and scoot us off into the direction that we need to go so we can become all that we can be. The process that we need to go through, we need to be patient, we need to be humble. We've made reference to it in this meeting this evening, that it's a process that doesn't happen immediately overnight. For some people it might, and that's a great thing. But for the most of us, it's a process, and sometimes it can be a hard process to sit back and watch, as well as a hard process to sit back and learn, because we're having to relearn a whole bunch of things about ourselves and give ourselves a benefit of a doubt and quit being so critical of ourselves and so demeaning to ourselves and so loathing of ourselves. We need to give ourselves a chance to sit back and watch God's hand work in our lives. So as it pertains to that particular process, there's a couple scriptures that I want to share. The first one's found in Doctrine and Covenants, section 58, beginning in verse 2. And it says, "For verily I say unto you, blessed is he that keepeth the commandments, whether in life or in death. And he that is faithful in tribulation, the reward of the same is greater in the kingdom of heaven. Ye cannot behold with your natural eyes for the present time the design of your God concerning those things which shall come hereafter, and the glory which shall follow after much tribulation. For after much tribulation come the blessings. Wherefore the day cometh that ye shall be crowned with much glory. The hour is not yet, but is nigh at hand." This process, as it says, we cannot currently behold with our natural eyes the design of God, what that design is. It's an opportunity for us to sit back and exercise our faith in God and know that he knows what he's doing and that he can take our life and he can change it and turn it into something glorious and wonderful. Throughout this whole process, what do we do? Nephi, in 2 Nephi chapter 31, verses 19 and 20, scriptures that we're all familiar with, this is what we do throughout this process. It says, "And now behold, my beloved brethren, after you've gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life." This process, we need to, as I've said, we need to let go and let God. We need to exercise faith. And throughout this whole process, we need to continue to do the same things that we've been doing. We need to continue to admit to ourselves that we are powerless. We need to continue to believe that it is his power that can restore us. We need to continue to turn our will over to him. And we need to continue to cleanse our life by willingly going before God, going before our priesthood leaders, and relying upon the help that is there. And finally, Doctrine and Covenants, section 50, verses 40 through 42. It says, "Behold, ye are little children, and ye cannot bear all things now. Ye must grow in grace and in knowledge of the truth. Fear not, little children, for ye are mine, and I have overcome the world, and ye are of them that my Father hath given me, and none of them that my Father hath given me shall be lost." There's the hope, there's the glory, there's the salvation of God. Comfort can and will come to a soul who opens their soul to the saving power of Christ. A true servant of the Lord, a true servant of the Lord will always try to turn hearts to Christ. They will never, ever, ever try and focus attention onto themselves. They will always, always turn hearts to Christ. It's an honor to be here, because within these groups, that's the resounding feeling, that's the resounding focus. The focus is on Christ. The focus and the good news is that He has overcome the world. He has overcome all things. And as it says in Ether, that His grace is sufficient for all things. His grace is sufficient for all things. Not some things, all things. And as we humbly go before Him, He'll show us our weaknesses. And as we humbly go before Him and come unto Him, He can take those weaknesses and He can turn them into strengths, which is the essence of these meetings. Everybody reaching deep within inside themselves and sharing the truths of their lives, reaching and yearning to try and strive to point people to Christ through your understanding, through your personal interpretation of what you've gone through. That's what people really relate to within these meetings. And it breeds and it spawns hope, hope and faith. So I add my testimony to the testimony of the others that Christ is the way. He does possess the power to deliver us from bondage. He is the author of liberty. He is true. He is faithful. And step six, prepare yourself to behold the salvation of God, which is through Jesus Christ. And I humbly bear witness of that and humbly do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks.
The full episode for Step 6 of the Addiction Recovery Program is also available on the Mormon Channel.